Okay, the meeting is called to order for the Library Joint Powers Authority Board for Monday, May 6th. Have a roll call.
Supervisor Friend.
Here.
Supervisor McPherson.
Here.
Councilmember Matthews.
Here.
Councilmember Terrazas.
Here.
Councilmember Reed.
Here.
Councilmember Termini.
Here.
Citizen English.
Here.
Citizen Dexter.
Here.
Citizen Gert.
Here.
Thank you. So the next item on the agenda is the approval for the agenda of May 6, 2013.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Next item is oral communications, item 3. Does anyone would like to speak before the board?
We have a special surprise that we didn't know about.
Okay, let's hear it.
Only if it's a good surprise.
Yeah. It is a good surprise.
Well, really we're not giving you a bad surprise. I'm actually going to tell you what ukuleles and the International Space Station and the Santa Cruz Public Libraries have in common. And you may already know this, but I'm going to tell you.
Auctioneer.
We have one of our members of the reference team, Leslie Auerbach, is responsible for this little surprise that you're about to see. I asked her to write something up so you have an idea of where this came from. So I'm reading what Leslie wrote. As I worked with an SCPL contact in Santa Cruz's Mighty Youth Club on ways to publicize the SCPL sheet music collection, which is heavily used by ukulele players, I discovered that the youth club had an honorary member aboard the International Space Station, and that a youth club ensemble was recording music videos that the astronaut's wife had been able to have uploaded to him. His name is Tom Marshburn. So we set out to find out what we could do to get involved here, since the youth club is in Santa Cruz. So we gave the astronaut his very own SCPL library card, and we put in his branch location, outer space. And then we conspired to have him record a video from space mentioning his SCPL affiliation. Now, his wife explained that he might just be too busy doing official NASA work to do this, but assured us that she and Tom really wanted to make it happen. So with the crew's return imminent, they're scheduled to land on May 13th, so coming up. We figured that the window of opportunity had closed, but then early on May 6th, we received word from Ann Marshburn that Tom had recorded the video this past weekend, and that NASA was reviewing it, so we figured we were in for a lot of red tape, but at noon we received the link. So we're going to show you the link.
We thought it would be a month. We thought it would be next month.
Yeah. Yeah. Show it. Either way, it comes around this summer.
Federal government.
And we can't get automatic sorting. Keep that in mind. Okay. From outer space.
If we did it in zero gravity,
still,
maybe it would work.
Okay. We'll work on it.
Hello to the staff and all the readers at the Santa Cruz Public Library from the International Space Station. Boarding.
I personally watched it.
Hello to the staff and all the readers at the Santa Cruz Public Library from the International Space Station, orbiting 240 miles above planet Earth. My dream of flying in space started in the pages of books at my local library, so imagine what adventures will begin for you if you keep reading and learn all you can about our world and the people around us.
So we're
thank you for sharing that.
He says he still dreams about weightlessness. He dreams about the mind.
Wow.
It's just that pivotal experience. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak during oral communications for something that's not on the board? Please, go ahead. You have 2 minutes.
Hi, I'm Bruce Holloway from Boulder Creek. I don't think I can top that. According to the Joint Powers Agreement for this board, there was a vacancy on January 1st, and according to the bylaws, there's a two-term limit, so there's going to be another vacancy this coming January 1st. I just wanted to tell you a funny story about a vacancy that occurred on the Santa Clara County Board of Education. There was a board member who took a job with one of the schools, and so he was no longer qualified to be a board member last year. So he resigned, and the board had a 60-day window to fill the vacancy. And since 2012 was a redistricting year, there was a question whether to use the old boundaries or the new boundaries for this district. And the board elected to use the new boundaries since they had already approved new district boundaries. And they went through the process and they appointed a new member. Then in January, the district attorney over in Santa Clara County sent a letter to the superintendent of the board, Office of Education over there, and said that the appointment, in his opinion, the appointment was null and void because the education code requires that when there's a midterm appointment, that it be filled with someone using the original district boundaries that were in effect when the original member was elected. At that point, some finger pointing ensued. The board president said that they had relied on the attorney for this opinion. And the attorney said he had not attended the meeting in question and didn't have anything to do with it. And at that point, the board president produced an email from a staff member quoting a member of the law firm that the attorney was with, saying that there was wiggle room, was the words, that they could use either the old or the new boundaries.
Okay. So thank you, Mr. Holloway.
The point,
you can finish the sentence.
Thanks. The point is that the attorney wasn't attending the meetings, and the board was getting its legal advice through a staff member rather than directly from the attorney.
Thank you. Your point's made. Is there any other comments from the public for items that are not on the agenda?
Okay. I'd like to introduce a new member of our county administrative office, Nicole, and
Nicole Coburn.
Nicole Coburn, and she's with the county administrative office now. She just took us hard, and will be there for a long time, I hope.
Welcome. Okay, the next item on the agenda is item number 4, a presentation regarding a mobile application.
Hi, my name is Diane Cowan, and I'm the Virtual Services Coordinator for the Library System. And I am really excited to be here to demonstrate our new app, SCPL on the Go.
Everybody get out your phone.
Yeah, I got it. And each of you has a bookmark. You can either, if you have a QR reader on your mobile phone, you could just scan that and it will bring up the app in the App Store. You know, this is really exciting because this really allows us to provide services to people really wherever they are when they're on the go. A lot of services that you would expect, you know, the ability to renew, search the catalog, and a lot of other kind of unexpected services that I think are really exciting. So, without, Okay, so first let me show you in the upper right-hand corner, that's, you might recognize our logo, and that is our icon in any of the app stores. And I don't know if I mentioned, it is device agnostic, meaning the app works on Android, iPhone, Windows Phone, BlackBerry, everything. So I'm going to go ahead and tap on our icon, and let's do some of the more expected things first, such as a catalog search. And the catalog search is really fantastic. It uses something called Smart Search, which enables you to just put in the first few letters of either the title, each word in the title, or each name in the author's name. So I'm going to put in FLIBEH because I'm looking for flight behavior, and it comes right up. As you can see, the flight behavior, I don't know how it knows, but it does. So right from there, you can go ahead and touch whichever, you know, I decided to go for the print one. You can put a hold on it right there by touching request copies. I've already got my login information saved right there. Hit submit, and I was able to place a hold very easily. Oh, but I do have to check my pickup location. There we go. We'll pick it up downtown.
It's not psychic.
It's not psychic.
No, it doesn't. Should do it based on your location.
Yeah. You
GPS.
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that. You can always, in that very upper right-hand corner, that little thing, if you touch that, it will always give you the option to go home. So you can get back to the beginning there. And it is funny you mentioned that, Teresa, because this library locator, which is another one of those things that you would expect, it actually does offer the libraries that are nearest to you based on your location. Let's just go back. And you have access to your account. It tells you how many things you have checked out. You can renew. You can look at your items on request. And I think I'll just go ahead and cancel my hold for flight behavior, since I know a lot of people have to do that. So easy as that, you have access to your account right at your fingertips. Let's see, another great piece of this is the integration. You can easily just click through to call with your research questions, to call telephone reference. Just opens up my phone and starts dialing them. But we won't crank call. So back to the app. It also, the texting and emailing, I'll click on Text Us, it brings up the Text-A-Librarian app and opens the messaging application on your phone, and you can just start texting with the librarian right there. And the same goes for the email. So I will mention that library events, you can search by type. So when you're out there running around with your kids and you decide, oh, a story time would be a great activity, just go ahead and click through, and there's a list of all the story times at all of the branches, or you could look at events by branch.
That's great.
And so let's just go home. And so these are some of the, some of the services that you would expect. There are some that are a little more unexpected as well. In this research and learning, we've got access to the subscription databases that also have a mobile app. So you've got a Gale Cengage, which is lots of reference ebooks and articles. EBSCOhost is also an article and journal database. You can see I've got saved searches. I can just click on those and get a bunch of articles on the plastic band that I was looking at earlier. And then another app that has some fantastic integration with our app is this Mango Languages. It just you know, you touch it and you're right there in your Mango account. You can pick from any language course. We can start doing our basic German, while you're on the bus with your phone. So that one's really great. Let's go home. And then finally, I just want to point out kind of before we get to the icing on the cake, I just want to also point out there is icing on this cake, believe it or not. It does get better.
That's the best part.
So, we have put a place here where you can just connect with us through social media. When you go and touch on the Facebook, it brings up the library's Facebook account, and you can see all of our posts.
Show the rabbit.
The tails. Okay. We have a tails to tails rabbit now.
We have the therapy rabbit.
Therapy rabbit
on Saturday.
It's on our Facebook page.
Here's our Pinterest, and in the RSS feed, you would see our news posted. Sorry, I'm not going to go looking for and you would see, our Twitter feed and stuff like that. So it's kind of nice to be able to connect with people quickly. In the downloadable section, you have access to your OverDrive account. And through OverDrive, you can download ebooks and EDA audiobooks, as well as one-click digital. I just want to mention that the ebooks and e-audiobooks from OverDrive, they show you things that are available right now to check out, because they know that you're using the mobile app on the phone and you want something right now. And there's all kinds of great content. Game of Thrones. Yeah, I saw that. And you can just, with one, I'll demonstrate it, with one touch, it asks you to log in and begin downloading the app. Let's forget about that.
I believe you.
It's true, but I do want to keep moving forward because I know that I'm beginning to take up a lot of time. Network timeout.
That's
probably
the icing.
Yeah.
No, it's not the icing.
That's not the icing.
No, the icing is coming.
Yeah, I shouldn't have touched that.
They're gonna have to trust us.
Maybe while that's loading, if there's any questions, people have questions regarding that.
I have a few. How dependent on our existing iOS is this app, or at all?
Well, we do provide the vendor with an extract of our data,
right.
And they've essentially re-indexed our catalog data, and that's how they have this smart search function that really works well, especially with so little information. however, all of the availability information is coming, it's communicating via a SIP2 connection to our iOS.
So it'll be seamless when we move to a new iOS, but
yes.
The data will still translate.
Oh, absolutely.
The same?
Yes.
And is all of this content off-site, or is it on our servers? Who is hosting this? And
we host our iOS now.
No, I know the iOS, I'm talking about the app, and how the app interfaces with our iOS and everything else in our system. Is it being hosted, or is there a third party that is?
Well, there's not. The application that runs on your phone
right. Lives
on your phone.
Correct.
But the data that it pulls from our iOS doesn't necessarily live on your phone.
No.
It might
right. Live
on your phone for a minute while you're using it.
No, is it reaching into our iOS, or
yes.
is it reaching
yes.
into a third party
no.
vendor?
No, it is reaching into our iOS.
Fantastic. And who was the vendor that wrote this?
Lucy, and they specialize in making apps for libraries.
What a nice name. How much did we pay, Boopsy? I'm not asking this as a question to squeeze pennies. I'm asking this because every city is working on an app of one kind or another, and it's nice to know what the going rate is for these kind of things.
I think it was about seven.
It's an annual subscription because they do have to continue to update the software. So
right.
It is, I want to say eight. It's like $7,000 or $8,000 a year, and then there was a fee at the beginning to get
an initial
an initial
creation charge.
Yeah, that was like, you know, $1,000, $1,200, I don't know.
Okay.
In that ballpark.
Great.
You're
thank you. It's worth 10 times that much. This is
okay, well, and wait till you, yeah. Now we're finally getting into the cream
the
of the
icing.
The icing. So,
oh, you're not going to do that. You're going to start a book.
There's this thing right here called Book Look. So you're out, you're at the bookstore, right? And you see a book and you're wondering if the library has it. Well, you just click to activate this scanner. There's a match for that one.
That's incredible.
And then I can just click on that.
Oh yeah.
And oh, I can see that there are available copies, but I think I'll just request.
And where they're available.
Yeah, you can see where they're available. You can just request it like that.
You can put it on hold right there.
This is the literary equivalent of like shopping online when you're in a store.
Yeah.
With the barcode scanner.
It is. It is.
Okay.
Just like
that.
The bookstores are going to like this.
Yeah. Let's. Yeah.
Okay. So now when we go back, let's. It's usually much. Okay. Go home. Okay.
Wow.
Now, if we activate the scanner and scan a book that is not owned by the library system, oh, come on, you worked before.
Steady hand.
No, actually shaking it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you shake your phone.
Okay, well, I will enter the number so that we don't have to.
No, that's cheating.
It is cheating, but
well,
if you're having trouble with the scanner,
it's an additional option.
Yeah, that would be great.
As opposed to cheating.
Or if you have an older phone.
Ready?
Yes.
978-1595-554-659.
And that was 3-5. Oh, there we go.
Duct tape.
So there it is. Oh, now the library has no matching copies. I can just click here to make a request to purchase it. And I just fill it out with my name, my library card number, and all the information about the book is entered in down below there.
That last one just sunk it.
Yeah.
Love that feature.
So then the final. The cherry on top of the
and
icing on the
more?
Cake.
You get a Vegematic too.
Yeah, I like that.
It's gonna
if we act right now,
it's going to read the book for you.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Book check, mobile checkout. And it is what it sounds like. You can use your phone as a self check machine. So, I'm just going to click the barcode scanner. And this time, and hopefully it's going to work, scan the library barcode. I think it's too dark.
No, he's
here.
Put a light on.
Oh, yeah.
Instant success. And then check out now. Have my number.
So if you're in the stacks, then you pull a book and you,
yeah.
You don't even, you just,
yeah.
While you're walking out.
Wow.
That's not right.
That's not right.
Were you take them out and then realize you forgot to check them out?
Oh, not that that would ever happen.
That's amazing. Thank you.
Sure.
Are there any board member questions or comments on this application?
That's great.
Yeah. Amazing.
Okay, and it did work. There we go. I have a due date.
It's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah, we were up here. We were looking at the application. Actually, for each of the branch locations, it'll give driving directions. So if you go onto that side, it'll direct you how you're there with the map. I was curious, just when you have the text to the reference librarian, does it recognize the hour? So if someone uses that at a certain time of the day when there's not a librarian present, or it might kick back a message.
It has the hours there.
But if you text, does it kick back a message saying, okay?
Yes, when we're closed, there are two automatic messages. When we're closed, it sends you an automatic message that says, we won't answer you until this time tomorrow.
Okay.
And if we're open, it says, we'll get to you as soon as possible.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You should also note that when using the part of your home screen, the downloadables, you have to have the apps associated with the download.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Okay.
Yes. And usually what will, if you don't have the app installed on your
it'll
phone,
reach out
it'll
for
open
it.
The app store,
yeah.
And yes, help you go through the process.
Thank you for that presentation.
That's my really pleasure.
The next item on the agenda is member reports. Are there any board members that have anything they'd like to report on? Board Member English?
The Finance Committee met a couple of weeks back, and I think the most noteworthy part of that discussion, other than going through a very thorough presentation of the planned budget for the year, was bringing up a new topic, which is that of developing a charter for the Finance Subcommittee so that we have some guidelines that can help establish, you know, what we are there to do and what we aren't necessarily there to do. So we'll be working on that going forward.
Great. Thank you. Any other board member comments? Presentations? No? Seeing none, we'll move on to item 6, the consent agenda. So if there's any questions on these items or any member that likes to speak to them, you can do so now. This is for the minutes and the revised volunteer policy.
I'll move the consent agenda.
Second.
I have just a question. No quarrel with
okay.
anything. I was just curious to know what changed in the volunteer policy and what an ACT volunteer is.
ACT is the the team volunteers.
It's just an acronym
yeah.
for something.
Somebody help me with ACT.
Advisory Council of the Teams.
Oh, okay. What changed was that second paragraph. The new volunteer coordinator recommended we add a second paragraph regarding age requirements. So that line was a go. And we'll fix the typo.
We have a motion by Council Member Termini and a second by Board Member English. But before we vote, is there any member of the public that would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, we'll bring it back here for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes unanimously. So the next item is the Friends of the Library report. Is there someone here from the Friends of the Library?
I'm Glenda Hastings from the Friends Board. And we have a few things to report. We have officially launched our business sponsorship program, and where we've invited businesses to sponsor our library programs and our friends programs. And we have three businesses so far: the Kinnelin Camps, Digital Dynamics, and the Morgan Stanley Scotts Valley office, who have entered into sponsorship. And we were happy. It was fun. We launched the program at the Garfield Park Library. And that branch is such a wonderful branch. And we had a great time there. And we want to thank the Joint Powers Board members who came and all of the staff. And the
okay,
staff
was there.
There.
Thank you. Just say.
It's lovely there. And we have funded a variety of library programming, including the Community Poetry Circle and Computer Days classes. And we've also purchased gift cards to recognize outstanding library staff people. We've hosted a volunteer appreciation brunch right here for the people who are volunteers who are working mainly here in the branch with the bookstore and with our sorting and people who are volunteering for the Friends. And we were fortunate, again, our local businesses helped sponsor that brunch and gave us gift cards for some of the refreshments and raffle items for the staff members and the volunteer friends who attended. So everybody had a lot of fun. We plan in the month of May, we're going to have our annual retreat, and we will be looking at the goals that we've been pursuing this last year, and we want to see what we want to focus on this next year, our short-term and long-term goals in helping the library and this program. programs. We're going to be on May 14th. We're going to provide refreshments where the Higher Mysteries event is going to be held here in the downtown library. Again, that's on May 14th, right? And on May 18th, we will be sponsoring our spring book sale, which will be held right out here on the parking lot. And we'll be from noon till 5 o'clock. And we'll have food, ice cream, music, and plenty of books. And the Museum of Art and History will also host a pop-up museum. So it should be a lot of fun. We'll just hope that we have great weather like we had last week in this event. And the other thing that we're also right now doing is we're asking various groups and people that use the library to donate gently used children's books. We're going to have on July 28th, we'll have our children's book sale at the Harvey West Park, and we need lots of children's books. And also, the children who participate in the summer reading program are going to receive a $10 worth of summer reading dollars, and they can redeem those at our bookstore down.
What's the date of the children's book sale?
June
20th. The date?
July 28th. That's part of the summer reading program, the finale for that, which is always a big event.
So should those books be brought on that date or beforehand? Where should they be distributed?
You can always deliver books right at this store here in the back. Ring the bell and somebody will come out and get them.
Okay.
So that's our biggest
But do you, you sort them, so just...
We'll sort them and set them aside for the children's program in the summer. And then, all of those that are given down will be given away in the summer, and then if we get more in, then they'll be here for a whole book sort, because the children's books are always very popular. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your report, Ms. Hastings, and thanks for the work of the Friends. I mean, it's great.
It's a great board to work on. I really want to commend our leader, Pete. He does a wonderful job and he really works hard in the Friends Board.
Great. Thank you. Okay, the next item is item 8, the staff reports. Teresa?
I don't really have anything specific to report on in the monthly narrative unless there's questions about it. And same thing for the statistics. And unless there's questions, I'll just turn it over to Marcus for financial report.
Again, just a quick one. You mentioned that the young people's area downtown is being reorganized. Just a quick description.
Staff area, I think it is.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. It's the staff.
Staff area.
Yeah. Okay.
It's making it. You know, staff moved out of there. We do have a couple of staff that are living up there, but they're rearranging the space to make it more usable.
Any other questions? That takes it to you, Dean.
Yep. Included in the library's packet is the library's March 2013 financial snapshot as reviewed by the Finance Committee several weeks back. Everything's trending still in a positive, good direction. Year to date, your cash coming in exceeds cash going out by $1,056,000. So you're very, very strong fiscal position for this fiscal year. When we look at your operations, revenues flow. You're 2.5% ahead of budget pace, so revenues are trending better than the budget as it was adopted. Sales tax is leading that charge at 7% ahead of the pace where we thought we'd be. So sales tax continues to be very strong for the library. We're seeing that in the city of Santa Cruz, and the state's seeing that as well. So that seems to be a pattern in different sectors that we can count on. Now, the dependability of counting on 7% annual growth, I'm not sure we can count on that. A lot of that's make up for how bad we work. But still, that's a good sign for us going forward. On the expenditure side, by and large, your typical core expenditures, payroll is about on track. It's 3% under budget. Some of that is vacancies. We had a line item that we discussed at the Finance Committee meeting, buildings and facilities, 25% below where we should be at this point in time of year. A lot of that came out of, we have an account line item for building repairs that is underspent so far. So there may be some costs perhaps coming or not, depending on the needs that come out of that line item. expenditures were 6.7% under budget at this point in time in pace. So 2.5% better on revenue, 6.7% under on budget on expenditures, resulting in a very strong surplus position for this fiscal year. We do expect to continue to spend money that is unspent, so that $1 million surplus that we have right now might come down a little bit as we overspend in these next couple months. Overspend is the wrong word. As we spend our expectations, it's just that from a cash flow perspective, they're leaning towards the back end of the fiscal year.
We're basically waiting any day now. How many computers have I ordered?
150.
Like that, 150 computers plus other peripherals that was a result of 2 years of technology reserve money. So that's a big chunk of money that's going to come out that hasn't been invoiced yet.
We tend to look at some operating ratios just to get a sense of where we are at compared to where we should be. Current assets versus short-term liabilities, we should be 2-to-1. We're 44-to-1. So we can well pay off all of our current liabilities. When we compare current assets to our long-term liabilities, we're almost 9-to-1. And we want to be 1-to-1 now. So we're at a strong cash position. As far as our cash versus budget revenue, we're at 19% of budget revenue, almost 20%. 2 months is 16% and change. So we far exceed the 2 month reserve level that the Finance Committee talked about the last committee meeting. And we'll talk about it in more details with some other financial agenda items at the Finance Retreat on May 18th, mark your calendars. That concludes my report. Available for questions.
Are there any questions regarding the items that are the informational items? Board members?
When will we start getting the circulation numbers?
I'm gonna talk with Jesse about that, and I just finished with a couple of other big projects that had to get done. I'm gonna talk to her about that in the next week or so.
Just a comment. I think that those figures maybe just limit it to the number of visitors or the data that we have now. That might be one way to report out because and leave off the any of the data points that require circulation.
Well, we do have visitors are in there,
but they're not valid.
The visitor numbers are valid.
Yeah, those are.
That's what I'm saying. Leave the visitor, but the ones that include that require circulation.
We're going to work on seeing where CERC's at now that we've got some time to focus on it.
Yeah.
So. Hopefully we'll have something by next month.
Any questions or comments from members of the public on any of those three items for informational items? Okay. No actions required, so we can now move on to the action item.
I'm just going to, you've got the report in front of you. You can certainly ask questions. I just wanted to let you know that I feel really good about this budget request for next year. I feel like it's very balanced in terms of addressing needs. I was telling David earlier, there's a model I've been using to talk about the facilities plan, and I think it bears weight here as you look at the budget. We provide services to the public of all kinds. You just saw some of it, but all kinds. And it takes resources to do that. It takes staff. It takes facilities. It takes the collection. It takes technology. And I feel that all of those areas have been addressed in this upcoming budget. And we're addressing all of them, and it feels good because they've all been neglected. And we're finally, we're fixing some of the staff things that aren't quite right. We're putting some money and looking even more closely at facilities. Collection, as per, I think it was Jim's request, we put some extra money into the collection materials budget for next year. Got an excellent plan for how to use that. Well, it's still more than it was last year because it's based on revenues, and revenues are up over last year. So the book budget itself is higher than it was last year, even at 8%. And by adding another $100,000 and taking it to about 9%, we've got some exciting ideas of what to do with that I think the public will really like. So anyway, I'll answer questions about the budget recommendations, basically follow the priorities that have been established. And if you like this approach, then at the next meeting you will have the actual budget for approval using these parameters to move forward with.
Any board member questions or comments? Board member English?
In the Finance Committee meeting, we had a discussion about reserve levels and what made sense, and Marcus had come back to us with information from different communities and different organizations, not just library organizations, but cities as well. And while we've established now a two-month reserve as the target, Mike Termini suggested that that was conservative relative to some of the other institutions, some of which actually have 6 months reserve in their plan. Maybe not funded, but at least that's the number that they're talking about. And so we've at least surfaced the idea of considering a three-month reserve as opposed to a two-month. Now, I don't know how we process through that idea and decide whether we want to institutionalize it or not.
My understanding from the Finance Committee was that you did not want me to bring the reserve policy to the board tonight, that it was going to be part of the consideration of the retreat. And so that whole concept gets discussed at the retreat, and then I would bring it back to the June board meeting, or if it's not ready, the July board
meeting. It does bear mentioning, though, so
but,
things to come.
Yeah, this I didn't change the reserve policy language in my report, but the understanding is that it would get discussed at the Finance Committee.
On page 6, where you do a recap of resources and use of resources,
mm-hmm.
I would recommend changing the name or the title of the use of resources of campaign-related expenses. I think it gives a bad connotation to what that money's really being used for. Polling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, the final budget, you won't see this. This won't show as a...
I just want to be accurate,
yeah.
So it's not
yeah.
Easter.
Point well taken.
Any other board member questions?
Just two comments. Thank you for adding the halftime people at Aptos in Scotts Valley. I'm not familiar with the Aptos situation, but I know in Scotts Valley.
It's
been Scotts Valley. Yeah. It's not, I don't know how common it is, but I've heard from more than one person that they don't want to use automated checkout, and they leave after a couple minutes because they don't have time to, or they don't want to wait anymore. So having another halftime person there, I think it'd be great. And then, great, you're able to find a little bit for the enhanced collections, and are you going to talk a little bit about the Lucky Day collection?
We can.
Could you give an overview? I heard a little bit about it from staff, and I think
okay.
It's a really intriguing thing to come up with.
I don't want to use my voice unnecessarily, so yes, the question I'll answer. Lucky Day collection, actually Shelley brought us this concept. I've heard about it before, but wasn't sure exactly how it works. We looked at the bestseller list and how many titles there are on it and how many copies we might need, and we kind of came up with about $100,000 would probably do it. We would buy extra copies of bestseller items, things that people really want. We would still buy the regular multiple copies that we do, but we'd buy these additional copies. You would not be able to reserve them, nor would they be able to be renewed. We can even give them their own checkout period. If we decided 1 week or 2 weeks, however we want to do it, we could assign that. So then these would come in, they'd come to us already processed, and they'd say Lucky Day on them, and then we would just have to divvy them out to the various branches, and they would be on the shelf. So when you walk into the branch, there would be that bestseller sitting on the shelf, and you could remove yourself from the whole list. And then when you're done with it, or your time is up, because you can't renew it, you return it, and it becomes available for the next lucky person to walk in and find. So it does a couple of things. It increases the number of bestseller type items out there. Also makes people come to the library more.
Exactly.
Often.
Exactly. Oh, that's genius.
So, any other comments about it?
I have a question. Around something you said, Jim. So, is the automated checkout? How is our percentage? I mean, we were keeping track of how people were doing in
right.
branches,
I don't have that data either because I don't have the circulation. That's part of the problem is trying to. We're trying to figure out, go ahead, Jesse.
That is what's at the base of the problem here, is that we cannot separate out the different types of checkouts that comprise the overall circulation figure.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to need to spend some time on that and get our support vendor to contribute some effort towards that. So it is not that stats are unreliable in the sense that there's some question about its integrity. It is simply that we can't break it out in the way that we need to give all of us the information on usage.
Would that change with our new ILS?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That was
yes.
One thing. So we
top
don't want to spend too much time on it, probably.
But it's something we do want to be able to give you during this period.
But Yeah, I would imagine that the branch managers probably have a pretty good idea that there's a lot of people who just aren't using the automated, if they would like more people to use them. And if they would, then maybe the friends could volunteer to hang out and sort of show people how to do it. I mean, it's an education campaign, but it's one that we really shouldn't back away from because it saves us a lot of money.
Is there anything anecdotal from the branch managers that might give us a feeling for?
None of them here. I would say that.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Excuse me. There's a couple of there.
Well, Catherine's back there. I'm sorry, and Jason's back there too. I'm sorry.
Most people are pretty savvy with the self check. They just come in, grab their books, check them out, and leave. But I don't know. There's a handful of people who do like the people interaction.
Good questions.
Is some of it because of the, you know, the architecture
yes.
of where the self-checkout machines are
yes.
so that it's not really obvious always?
Most definitely. It's partly obvious and partly the fact that in many places it sits right on the circulation desk.
Oh, so you're there.
So you're standing there right in front of someone.
But that's not the case at Scotts Valley.
No.
And you're having trouble there, so that's...
No, actually, Scotts Valley is not, they're not having
We're not having trouble with the system.
There are people that don't want to do it.
Right.
I thought we started with the happy day.
Let's go take it back.
Why don't we get all those people's smartphones?
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah,
this might be easier than...
But that just seems... Anyway, maybe we can improve on that at some point.
I think
I would like to see that.
Facilities is a major thing. The facility design, I think, is a major way to...
Great. Okay, well, I just had a couple questions. And one was for the payoff of the city loan. What was the actual principal savings? Because it combines both. What is the interest savings? It says principal and interest.
What's the interest? About plus or minus.
Over how many years?
Until 18, fiscal year 18.
Okay. And then I was surprised, I know this came through the sub-finance committee, but we were talking about the prepayment of the PERS for the 3% discount.
Mm-hmm.
Is that common now? Most people are doing the prepayment for that kind of savings?
It depends on your organization and cash flow. So I think this organization meets two tests. One, it's got cash flow that it can do it. And two, it's either staying steady or potentially adding staff. Which reduces some of the risks. It actually eliminates two of the big risks in prepaid. And it's really, you know, you're paying July 1st for expenditures over the next 12 months, and so you're not out of cash for a very long time.
Okay. And then since Jim asked about the happy days, it reminded me of those types of programs where you walk into a video store and they have the employee picks. And I was wondering if any librarians do that, where the librarians have their book of the day.
They do.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you do.
Great. Right. Are there any questions of these items?
Is there a payback to Watsonville?
That's done.
This year? That's over.
We're done, yeah.
Okay, that's great.
It's done last August, yeah.
Okay, so that's sort of reflected in this budget and our revenue.
So this is listed as an action item.
How much was that payback?
How much was the payback?
A year?
Was it 60,000 a
something
year?
Something like that. It was an error. It was a several years.
For like 10 years or something?
It was a lot.
It took us a long time to pay it back. Let's put it that way.
But we burned the mortgage last year.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Before we provide any further directions, are there any members of the public that would like to speak to this item? Sir, you have 2 minutes?
That was 3 minutes, so I've got 3 minutes left.
Oh, I've been, yeah, 2 minutes.
I agree with the library director. I think it's a great budget. And I also want to talk about the CalPERS prepayment. Mr. Pimentel is the only finance director in the county that I know of that is taking advantage of this particular option. And the $17,000 that it saves the library is only a small fraction, really. I think the city can save at least 10 times more than that as a whole. And from what I've seen, the cities of Capitola and Scotts Valley could also save over $30,000 a year by doing that. And the county could save close to $1 million by doing the same thing. Eventually, I talked. talked to a business manager at Aptos La Selva Fire Protection District, and he pointed out that since CalPERS is 2 years behind in its payroll estimates, that for his district, the actual payroll is actually more than 3.5% less than what CalPERS thinks his payroll is. So he explained to me why it does not work out for his district. So there's one sort of a gotcha that I learned about. But for most agencies, I think there's a real opportunity for savings here. And I hope that others will follow Mr. Pimentel's lead.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? We'll take it back then. This is the action item. It's just really just to provide direction to the library director. So are there any other further points that should be made on the board?
No.
I think it's a great budget, and I really thank you for the presentation and all the work that you've done to kind of move this forward. So thank you. So we'll move on to the next item on the agenda.
There are a couple of staff here that are in the in the staff recognition.
Oh.
Jesse is here. Elaine Anderson is here.
You know, this is one thing I think that the staff recognition, I think what we should do is move this up to the front of the agenda, maybe moving forward when we have this in the future, just so we can have it, because I think it's great now that we've started doing this. We should do it right up front, and I'm really thankful for all the staff that are here, but also for those that have been recognized during the month. So, Teresa, if you could go forward and
we'll do that.
Make the presentation.
The two of them are here. Jesse was nominated as part of the team that got the shelf-ready ordering piece, finally. It seems to be working. And they're testing it with a small group of materials right now. Actually, Shelley should probably be part of that, too. She came in kind of late on that. And Elaine Anderson is here as part of the team that worked the morning of the April board meeting, making some changes to those workbooks. So, so thank you. Elaine is a representative from CMS. I think that's all the people that are here. If I miss somebody, Heather's not here, right?
She was.
Okay, she was here.
Sweet time.
That's it.
So, thank you very much. And so, on behalf of the entire board, thank you for all of your work and for all the employees that are recognized this month. Really appreciate that. So the next items are really just written communications and informational. If there's no questions on those, we could just file those just in terms of for reference. But any questions from board members regarding the written communications? No? Seeing none, that brings us up to the board meeting calendar. Our next meeting is going to be a special session on Saturday, May 18th at 9 a.m. at the Scotts Valley Branch Library. We'll then adjourn to the regular meeting of June 3rd at 6:30 at the Scotts Valley Branch. So we'll have two special dates at the Scotts Valley Branch. We look forward to visiting.
Spend a lot of money when you come.
Yes.
We always do.
So thank you, and the meeting is now adjourned.
Thank you.